Would you please turn to Mark chapter 1? We'll cover a little more than what we read in the scripture reading earlier. We'll cover from verse 23 through verse 45. And the topic is, what do you see? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ while he was here on this earth. The testimony that he set, the pattern he laid out, the example he left behind for us to follow. As we pursue the mind of Christ this year, help us to see from this particular passage something about the mind of Christ that we ought to adopt for ourselves as we serve you. And I pray for your help in this study. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you ever do one of these pictures where you're supposed to pick out all the things that are wrong? I know you can't see this picture. I have one of those pictures here. You know, there's it's a farm scene, and there's a duck on the barn roof watching TV. That seems a little out of place, doesn't it? And there's a cow stretched out on a lounge chair. The farmer is holding a spoon and a fork instead of a rake and a hoe. You know, there's all kinds of interesting things that are just not right. As we look around in life, we see all the problems that people are going through. It's not hard to pick them out. It's not hard to pick out what's wrong in this picture. It's not hard to see what's wrong, the problems that people are dealing with in this life. So much disease, so much poverty. Not even thinking about all of the sins and the violence and the immorality and all of that, but just the basic day-to-day problems that people experience. Discouragement, stress, loneliness, injuries, loss from natural disasters. So many things, so many problems people are going through in life. But I wonder if we can look beyond the problems. And if we did, what would we see? We're going to first observe the problems that Jesus saw in this passage of Scripture. And then we're going to see how he looked beyond the problems. In verses 23 through 26, Jesus saw the way that devils, unclean spirits, were influencing people. He says in verse 23, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Unclean spirits can actually harm people. In fact, in verse 26, it says, and when the unclean spirit had torn him. The word torn is related to the idea of causing convulsions. Unclean spirits, devils. Devils, as they're referred to down in verse 32 and 34, devils can cause all kinds of problems in people's lives. In verse 32, it says that even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. In verse 34, he healed many that were sick with diverse diseases and cast out many devils. It's a very real thing. And Jesus' presence seemed to bring out the voices of these unclean spirits. In verse 23, where it says, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he, that is the unclean spirit, cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Jesus, in verse 25, tells the unclean spirit to hold his peace. And the unclean spirit comes out in verse 26. but cries with a loud voice. Something about the presence of Christ that just made the activity of these demons much more prevalent and obvious. Jesus also saw the diseases that affected people. Verse 29, forthwith they were come out of the synagogue. They entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, but Simon's mother lay sick of a fever. Have you ever had a fever? Fever can make you feel pretty bad, can't it? What's the highest fever you've ever had? Anybody have a fever of 104? Anybody ever have a fever that high? That's pretty high. You feel pretty bad when you have a fever that high. Now, fever, actually, is, of course, the elevation of the body temperature, but a fever is actually only a symptom. It's not the real problem. Fever can be caused by a virus or a bacterial infection or heat exhaustion or inflammatory conditions of one kind or another, or pneumonia or malignant tumor, or all kinds of things can cause a fever. So we don't really know what was causing this woman's fever, but she was obviously very sick. Verse 40, and there came a leper to him. Leprosy is a horrible condition. It says that leprosy is a bacterial infection that disfigures the body's surface, causing lesions that become rather disfiguring. And leprosy can progress over a period of 40 years before it reaches its peak in a person's body. That's a long-term plague. And Jesus saw multiple diseases in verse 32. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased. There were a lot. In verse 34, he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases. Don't be distracted by that word divers. When I was a child, I always wondered what the divers were in the Bible. What are those divers? You know, we don't pronounce that last word, a letter in the word diverse, D-I-V-E-R-S-E. We don't say diversity, but back in the day when King James was translated, they didn't need that letter, but it's the same word that we have today, diverse, different kinds. All different kinds, so many different kinds of diseases. There were many kinds of diseases in Jesus' day. It seems like there's even more kinds of diseases today. And then another thing that Jesus observed as a problem among people, in verse 36, Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. He observed that people were without truth, and they needed to hear the truth. It's a problem that is persistent from ancient times. Over in Hosea chapter 4, it was a problem back hundreds of years before Christ and prevailed in the nation of Israel in such a dismal way. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 1, where it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth. Well, you don't have to look very far to see there isn't any truth in our world today, huh? In fact, all of these same problems persist in our day. Demon influence and possession is very real today. Devils may not be as vocal as they were in Jesus' day, perhaps because the Lord Jesus Christ himself isn't here on the earth, although he is present on the earth because he lives in us. And that presence can be felt by these devils in certain circumstances. There was an incident in Buffalo, New York, when one of these faith healers was having a big, massive meeting. Now, not all faith healers are necessarily possessed by evil spirits, unclean spirits. Some faith healers are just plain fake. There was another one of these faith healers that got caught in Buffalo, New York, of all places, same place, with earplugs in his ear, and somebody was telling him what seat so-and-so was in and what their problem was, and then he was pretending that the Holy Spirit was giving him this information. But in this particular case, there was some really strange things going on in this room, the way people were being contorted and supposedly filled with the Holy Ghost while speaking in tongues and flailing around in weird ways, and it was obvious what was going on. And a group of Bible-believing pastors decided to go to this meeting to observe. And they walked in the back and stood in the very back, and suddenly things kind of calmed down. And this man up on the platform said, "There's an oppressive spirit that has entered into this room and is suppressing the spirit from moving." What happened was the presence of Christ entered into the room and he suppressed the evil spirits from doing their dirty work. Yes, it's very real. I had a young woman call me one time up in New York, not here, up in New York, call me one time and say, "Pastor, I was playing with a Ouija board and brought a demon into the house and the toaster is floating around in the kitchen." Yes, it's very real. Diseases are also very real. Just look at our own prayer sheet and the things that we are dealing with in our own church family. Cancer, heart problems of various kinds, respiratory issues, broken bones, infections, joint replacements, all kinds of physical ailments. Expand this across the world. And disease and physical infirmities of many kinds continue to affect humanity in a very big way. One of the biggest issues of our time is the need for adequate health care. And then there is certainly a lack of truth. I mean, all you have to do is turn on the news and listen to some of our present-day politicians, and you see a very big lack of truth. It's interesting that in the middle of this context, in Mark chapter 1, in verse 35, in the middle of all of these things that were around him, all of the problems, the observation of all of the problems, Jesus does something very interesting in verse 35, Mark chapter 1, verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." He just had to get alone. Solitary place. He was all by himself. Spent some time alone, and in that time alone, conversing with God the Father. He is the Creator. When he created the earth, he created it as a Garden of Eden. He created man in innocence, and in their innocence there was a purity in their state of existence. But because of man's sin and man's fall from the glory of God, all of these problems come upon people. And Jesus now, who is the Creator, is walking in the midst of his creation and sees all of these problems. Everywhere he looked, there were problems. A multitude of problems. Devilish problems. physical problems, spiritual problems, problems of all kinds. Problems can be distressing when it surrounds you so much. I assume most of us listen to the news at one time or another in the week. Do you ever have the experience that when the news broadcast is over that you feel really happy? Are you refreshed because of all the good things that are being reported? What is your reaction when you get the next prayer sheet and you see that there are even more people in our own church family who are experiencing health problems? There's so much to be concerned about. But this is what I want you to see, what Jesus actually saw. Jesus did not just see problems. I think that's a problem in our present day, that the people in our world, politicians in particular, I might pick on them a little bit today because of the way things have been going in our country and in our world, all they see is problems. They see poverty. They see disease, they see crime, they see terror, they see violence, they see drug abuse, they see domestic violence, they see all kinds of problems. And I think one reason, maybe a big reason, the politicians of this world can never come together and come up with real solutions to real problems is because they didn't see what Jesus saw. They only see problems. And they only see solutions as a means of proving their own worth as politicians. They don't really see people as persons. People who need to be delivered from their problems. What did Jesus see? In verse 23 of Mark chapter 1. And there was in their synagogue a man. Do you notice when I read that verse earlier, I kind of skimmed over the man and went right to the unclean spirit? When there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. You know, it seems so much a part of our depraved human nature to want to gravitate towards the problem and miss the person. In fact, notice the response of the people in verse 27. Well, you know what happened. I mean, here was this man with an unclean spirit, and after the unclean spirit cries out to Jesus and is afraid of what Jesus is going to do to him. Verse 25, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. But notice the response of the people. Verse 27, and they were all amazed insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. Is there any mention of the man who was delivered in that response? Do they talk about how wonderful it is that Jesus delivered this man from the unclean spirit? Or are they just simply amazed that Jesus was able to handle this problem, regardless of the person? There's no mention of the man. Apparently no interest in the man. And we see this in numerous situations where Jesus heals someone and the people who respond, the Jews and the politicians of the day, aren't really interested in the fact that this person was delivered from their problem. They're concerned more about the mechanics of what Jesus did and when he did it on the Sabbath day and how he did it and all of this. When politicians talk about problems today, do they really care about the people? One of the congresspersons invited an illegal immigrant to the State of the Union address. I wonder if that congressperson actually cares about that illegal immigrant, or that illegal immigrant was simply used as a pawn to make a political point. When a politician applies money to a problem, do they really care about the people or the points they score in the legislation more important to them and how it would help them to get elected the next time? Jesus didn't just see the problem. He saw the person who needed to be delivered from the problem. In verse 30, he saw a mother. He didn't just see a fever. He saw a mother. And in verse 31, notice, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. In verse 40, when the leper came to him, notice in verse 41, and Jesus was moved with compassion and put forth his hand and touched him. Jesus saw the people, saw the person who needed to be lifted and touched. He saw the multitude. He saw all of them in verse 32. At even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many. He healed the people. He didn't heal the diseases. He healed them. He healed the many. He healed the people. Jesus did not simply solve the problem. He rescued people from the problem. You see the difference in emphasis? You can witness to a lot of people and care only about the notches they give you on your soul winning belt. You can teach a Sunday school class and care not at all about how much the students learn, but only about how great a teacher they think you are. You can preach a sermon and care not at all about whether or not the people's lives are changed, but only about how many people go out the door and say, "Oh, that was a great sermon, Pastor." You can take food to a sick person and care not at all about the person, but only how good it makes you look for being so kind. No, we need to have the mind of Christ, who indeed saw the problems that people were enduring. But beyond the problems, he saw the person and cared about the person and delivered the person from the problem. Here's the point. Just solving problems can be self-serving. Look at how great I am. I solve problems. Give me credit. But delivering people from their problems puts the emphasis where it ought to be for a servant of Christ who has the mind of Christ. Here's the mind of Christ. My mission is not to be popular for what I do. My mission is to serve and help people. Jesus wasn't concerned about being popular. Look in verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him and forthwith sent him away. He doesn't want this man to publicize the miracle. He simply wants this man to go do what he was supposed to do, to thank God. Notice verse 44. And saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Don't go and tell anybody. Jesus wasn't interested in people being told. He wasn't interested in being popular. Notice in verse 36, and Simon and they that were with him followed after him, and when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. Wasn't that great? I can have big crowds because all men seek for thee. And Jesus says, I'm not concerned about all men seeking me. I want to go to the next towns and preach to those people. I want to go speak to people who are willing to listen. What's our motivation for what we do? Even in the name of Christ? When we witness to a lost person, are we really concerned about that lost soul or about how many people we can claim we've led to the Lord? When we do good deeds, are we really concerned about the people that we're ministering to? Or are we more concerned about the applause that we will receive because of how many good deeds we've done? We may indeed see the problems, and we really may have a sympathy towards the problems that our people are experiencing. But do we see the people? Do we see the person? Do we do what we do to become popular and famous? Or do we do what we do because we really care about delivering people from their problems? Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come to this earth to get. He came to this earth to give. And even in our good works, the motivation can be what we get out of it. Popularity, fame. If we have helped someone, would we tell them, now don't you tell anybody that I did this? It's basically what Jesus said. Don't tell anybody I did this. Because telling people I did this, that's not important. What's important is that you've actually been delivered. You go talk to God and you thank him for what's happened in your life. Do we do our good deeds? Do we witness to the lost? Do we minister to the sick? Do we feed those who are unable to care for themselves? Do we teach Sunday school classes? Do we sing up here on the platform? Do whatever it is that we do, do we serve in the nursery? Do we hand out bulletins? Do we do it to be noticed? Or do we do it because we see people? And we care for people. And we really care about delivering people from their problems so that they can be whole in their relationship with Christ. This is the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what Jesus saw. Thank you so that he saw the man. He saw the mother. He saw the person. He saw the people. And he had compassion on the people. And he touched them. And he lifted them up. Give us a heart and mind like Christ, that we would see people and care for them and help them not for our own popularity and fame, but because we truly care about them. May we have this part of the mind of Christ. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.